have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll continue. I'm going to study through 1 Corinthians. Also, we've been obviously talking about spiritual gifts, and now specifically in this chapter, there's the gift of tongues, okay? So, I'm not going to do a lot of repeating on what I've talked about already, but I've entitled this sermon, The Common Sense Church. The Common Sense Church. And the theme is this. Church conduct should make sense. You say, why do you say that? Because in our text, they are not making a lot of sense in speaking in tongues. Okay? They're not making a lot of sense. And the church at this point is at the beginning state of its existence. You know, as a church, you know, it's the early church time. The Holy Spirit did give them the gift of many gifts of ministry to the church to be saved, to the saved and the unsaved. They had a gift of prophecy, they had a gift of healing. They had a lot of obviously supernatural gifts from the Spirit. I will not sidestep that. And my whole sermon last week, I think a week before, talked about the fact that, you know, we'll say it again today, I think, that tongues were assigned to the unsaved. It wasn't for the church, inside the church. If you go back to Pentecost, know that they weren't at church, they were at Pentecost. Okay, so they were speaking to a lot of unsaved people from different countries. They begin to speak. Tongue is nothing more than language. So they spoke in another language. It'd be like if I spoke in Spanish and the Holy Spirit equipped me to speak in Spanish to Spanish people. That was a sign of the unsaved. This was the Holy Spirit, okay? That's really simply, to simplify it, it's simple. That's what tongues were. We got the Word of God now. It ceased to be. And I'm only talking about that for like 3 weeks, a little bit. But that's what it was. Yet in the church, the early church, they began to covet this gift. They began to abuse this gift. They began to misuse it. And so Paul here, obviously, in chapter 14, gives us the proper position on tongue. And that's 1 through 12 of chapter 14. Basically, he says that tongue is below prophecies. Because prophecies can be understood. It was truth to everyone. And obviously goes along with the theme that church is to make sense. It's supposed to appeal to the mind. It needs to be understood. Verses 13 through 25 of this chapter gives us the purpose. And we saw that in verse 22. It says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. So that's one of the biggest, in my opinion, the strongest argument you have against charismatic when they say you should speak in tongues in church. And it's not for the church. Church is for saved people, by the way, okay? That is what church is. So, and then, in verses 26 through 40, we're not going to do this today, he gives the procedure, okay? So in this chapter, some of the biggest things, really one thing that he said, church is for edification. And that's what we talked about last week. The second thing here that he revealed in our text is that with that being said, church is to make sense. And so what do you mean make sense? Well, obviously, the problem in this text, the context, is that the people are misusing tongues. Many people were speaking in tongues, and this is what one guy said, I forgot who it was, and it's kind of the answer to tongue. Tongue was nothing more than the Spirit enabling a believer to speak in another language, Gentile language, in order for him to hear the gospel, and was for the Gentiles, not just for the Jews. Now, I'm not going to dig into this, but tongues itself really reveals the fact that Jesus was going from the Jews to the Gentiles. And now, I read a little bit about that, not much, but the fact that this was a statement, the fact that the kind of thing speaking other languages, that the gospel is not just for the Jews. It's for us as well. What a great thing, okay? So we want to argue about tongues. We ought to see the significance of it. Anyway, the problem is that many of the believers in the church were speaking in a language that no one knew and thus didn't make any sense and it had no value. It'd be like if I got up here and started speaking in Spanish or French. It'd be great. But it's of no value because for most of you speak English. Some of y'all might speak another language, I don't know. And so therefore, it was of no value. It wasn't making any sense. It was spiritual because the Holy Spirit was in it, and it was amazing, but it was of no value because it didn't make sense. Paul in these verses reveal that the church is to make sense. It needs to be understandable. It needs to be knowledgeable. The King James translates a Greek word, the understanding, 6 times in verses 13 through, verse 20, excuse me. And it says their understanding, see it in verse 14. In verse 15, you see understanding twice. In verse 16, you see the word understanding. In 17, you see the word edify. And in verse 19, you see the word understanding. And in verse 20, you see the word understanding twice, which that last verse is a different Greek word, but it's still the idea of understanding, okay? So, obviously, and if you read the ESV, it translates the word understanding as mind. So, your mind. So, in other words, tongues, speaking in another language you didn't understand, it's great and all, but it did not reach the mind. And if one does not understand what is being said, quite the opposite happens. People will think you're crazy. We read that last week. It says there in verse 22. And then verse 23, I think. No, I don't know. But it says, verse 23, laugh for. Will they not say that you are mad? Okay. People will be worse off, not helped. In the context here, if I get up here in the spirit and I speak in Spanish, which that's what was happening, and we don't know Spanish, then we're not helping anybody. Tongues was out of place. The purpose of church, we'll see this today, is to be sensible and even logically communicate the word of God. That's basically what we saw last week about edification. And truth, God's truth ought to be taught in a clear, common sense manner. Thus, Paul tells the church that their conduct should make sense. Then he said, make sure that you're not chasing the experience of tongues, but rather concentrate on making sense. And that's what I want to talk to you. 3 things here. I don't really like doing my points this way, but it's how I'm going to do it. Number 1, Paul's desire. Well, basically, look at 3 things that prove the point that church is to make sense. Look here at Paul's desire in verse 13 through 17. And he says, wherefore, let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What then you put mind there? So it says your mind is unfruitful. What is this then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding, with my mind. Also I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing into the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall they that occupy the room of the unlearned, mean person who don't understand the language you're speaking in, for example, Spanish, say amen and to give him thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So Paul's desire here, I'm going to give you 2 things here. And his desire for him to make sense. You see that number 1 in the redirected their prayers. I should put an ED on that thing. Anyway, redirected their prayers in verse 13. See, he accepts tongues at this point in this time period. This was the church age, okay? This was in the time of Acts. The book of Acts is a book of transition, okay? Then we're going from the old covenant to the new covenant, okay? We're not doing that now. We have the new covenant. Paul doesn't rebuke them for speaking in tongues. He accepts it, but he commands them to do something before they speak in tongues. He commands them, and it says there, he commands them to pray for the ability to interpret. Now, he doesn't say this, but in a lot of the context, there's no doubt in my mind, Brother Darrell, that because tongues was so popular, that people probably were begging God to have that gift. They were probably begging God. They're probably begging God when they come and say, Lord, let me speak in tongues today. Which would be pretty cool, Miss Janet, to be able to speak in another language. You know, it wasn't an unknown blabber, blah, 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 blah. It was, Pentecost tells us that they spoke and everybody heard in their language. That's what tongues is language. But what is unknown? Some people do say the heavenly, glossae language. It's not an unknown language. It was a language you speak in. That would be pretty cool. to be able to do that. And he said, but he said, don't pray for that. What you need to pray for, he said, I want to redirect your prayer. I want you to pray that if you can speak in tongues, that you'll pray to be able to interpret. Now, the word interpret, once again, interpret in language, we understand that, interpreters, you know, it means to explain. That's what the word interpret means. It means to explain thoroughly. Paul redirected them to be able to pray that they could thoroughly explain what they're saying. Pretty, I think that's pretty common sense. Common sense, if I'm going to speak in French, which that's great and all, but I need to be able to stop and tell you what I'm saying. We do that today. We've had Spanish people here who preached, or Spanish people in the congregation, and we had a translator, because we know, even today, we know if they can't understand what we're saying, then it's of no value. Paul doesn't try to do away with tongues. He simply tries to redirect them to pray to explain what they are saying. Paul's desire, that's the first thing we're talking about here, is for them, for the people, to know what God is saying. Paul knows this, that without understanding, there is no value. There is no value in the Word of God. John Phillips said this, talking about this text, that was just plain, practical, common sense. That's why Paul said, I want to redirect your prayer. I want it to make sense. It is paramount that we understand. We see the church that makes sense through the redirection, through the prayer, but also Paul's reasoning with their philosophy. Once again, he redirected the prayer, but then he says, let's talk about your philosophy here. In verses 14 through 17, we see the philosophy here is that tongues was imperative. It's imperative that we have this amazing experience with the Holy Spirit that amazes people. They said tongues, their philosophy was that this is superior. This is desirable. This is the most wanted. They devalued other gifts that were actually more important for the fact that of tongues. They overvalued it. They overvalued the experience of speaking in tongues, even though no one can understand it, over prophecy, which was understanding the Word of God. And experience can never override understanding of the Word of God. Their philosophy was that tongues is the best thing ever. And a lot of times that's because of the experience. Now, Paul didn't feel that way. Paul actually devalued it. See, in chapter 14, we see here that Paul, he's not against tongues, but he starts devaluing it. John Phillips said this, before he gets around to explaining its true importance, he continued to systematically devalue tongues and put curbs on it. Here's Paul's reasoning for not thinking it's so great. Tongues alone isn't really that great. Why? Look at verse 14. But if I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. That means the mind. A person's mind is unfruitful. It means barren. It means no result. People really said nothing of benefit is produced in the conscious understanding of the individual mind. Even tongue that was from the spirit was unfruitful because it did not pass through the mind. That tells me something. To grow spiritually, we have to get the mind educated. Okay, that's the thing. I mean, we have to understand the truth. That tells me that the exhortation of God's word is paramount. Tongues was a valid experience with the spirit, but it had no value because it did not pass through the minds. Also, others didn't benefit from it. Look at verse 16. He said, elsewhere, when now he's reasoning with their philosophy, he said, first of all, you think tongues are so great. Well, it don't go through your mind. He said, it's not helping anything. He said, it's not helping other people. Elsewhere, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned, which means, I said that already, the idea of people who don't know Spanish, don't understand the language, say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. Basically, no one benefits from it. No one can say amen if they don't understand it. Tongues was valid at this point. But did not understand it, they will not be able to endorse it. Here's the truth. Unless it gives understanding of God's truth and doesn't help anyone, including yourself. If what we do does not give us understanding, it's of no value. Let's make sure we strive to make sense. Let us make sure that we value understanding God's truth. Paul reasoned with them and said, number one, tongues really not that great. But then he also said this, pray for understanding. Look at verse 15. It says this, what then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Obviously, he said this, pray to sing or pray in a language you know, okay? That's what he said. There's two spiritual activities that should be edifying. He said, number one, prayer and song. So obviously, I didn't know this, but obviously, if they were speaking in tongues, they could do that through song, okay? So by the way, I'm going to say this, don't get mad. I never said music wasn't important. Okay, I just want you to know, it says it right here. I mean, I never said that. Okay, so if you think that I think that music don't have a place in church, that's not what I said, okay? Because right here it says they sing. I have no problem with that. But apparently, the gift of tongue could be exercised in prayer and song, okay? But it needed to involve the mind. John Phillips, I like this. He said, after all, if a person who speaks only English prays in Japanese tongue, doesn't God understand English? Of course he does. So pray in English, then both God and the person praying will understand what is being said. Basically, the Spirit speaks to you to speak His truth. Do it in a language that other people can understand. Okay, so basically, they didn't have the Word of God. So God gave them the Word of God, and they, I guess, had the option. They had the ability to speak in Spanish or English. And they could choose, I guess, to some degree. So he said, if you get a message from God, it's during the Acts, remember, you can choose to speak in English. Because it's much better to speak it in a language that people understand when truth are being explained than to amaze people with what you can do. True today, it's more important to me, not that I could ever do this. I don't consider myself a good preacher. Some people just captivate you. I'm not that type of person. But if I could, it'd be much better for me to explain the Word of God than to try to captivate you with my ability to speak and my ability to wow you, okay? Same ideal. And that here is what he's saying. He's saying that we need to pray and sing in a language that you know. Another one, it needs to be understandable. What does this teach us? The church is to make sense. It is about communicating the truth of God. In the context, it means that Paul was more concerned with the church educating the mind with biblical truths than about having excitement. It's about the biblical truths. Church is to make sense. It is to appeal to the mind. Paul's desire was for us and for them to learn the truth. We see that in Paul's desire. Now let's look at Paul's decision. We're basically going to drive home the same point. But Paul's getting a point across. He said this in verses 18 through 19. He said this, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words of my understanding than by my voice that I might teach others also that 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So here's Paul's decision. The first thing is I want you to understand the possession. In verse 18, we see that Paul possessed the ability to speak in tongues. That is important for you to know, okay? And he had the ability to speak in tongues. Paul also used that ability. And he said, I speak with tongues more. There's no doubt Paul possessed the ability to speak. He no doubt did speak in tongues. Why did he tell us this? Because he wanted the Corinthians to understand that he was not depreciating the gift of tongues because he did not possess it. Indeed, he thankful that he did. but did not want to put as much assertion. Kind of example. Here's a good example of what he did. You ever had somebody who don't have any money, and they say, money won't make you happy? And you say, of course not, you don't have any. You know what I mean? That's why Solomon's testimony is so great. Solomon was the richest man in the world, and he said, money won't make you happy. That's why it means a lot more emphasis. Same thing true for us, is that Paul said, he told these guys, hey guys, you love tongues. I can speak in tongues. I'm not devaluing it because I can't do it. He said, I can. I do it more than you do. Ha ha. But then he makes a decision. We see the practice in verse 19. He possessed it, but here's the practice. In verse 19, he said, in church, the statement is why we don't need to speak in tongues. In church, because in church, I'm going to speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice, I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So obviously the location, the church. Okay, so he's in church. He said, I'm not speaking tongues in church. He said, here's a decision. To speak 5 words that are understood and 10,000 are not understood. So we understand that now. Like that. He said, I'm not going to speak 10,000 in Spanish if you can't understand Spanish. Even if God had enabled me to do that. And by the way, the word 10,000 is the highest Greek symbol. The largest number in the Greek symbol. Numbers. I didn't know that. This person may be wrong too. Who knows? But, and an incredible source. So basically, he said, deal with the idea of infinite. He said, I will speak 5 words of my own understanding than an infinite amount of unknown tongue, of a language you can't understand. And that is my decision. This is what I'm going to practice. And the words he said that I want to teach. He said the word, I might teach. The word teach there refers to a sounding in the ear with the idea of careful, thorough, organized instruction. Such teaching, just what one guy said, produces maturity in believers. His decision was, I'm not going to speak in tongues. I'm going to speak in something you can understand. Because what I want is for you to be a mature believer. And the only way that me and you are going to be a mature believer is for us to learn God's word. That's what it says. That's what he's saying. We need to make sure that we strive to understand truth. That edified. Church, once again, my point is, Paul's saying church is to make sense. In context, we know what he's saying. They're over here talking in a different language, and everybody's sitting around like, that's great, but I don't know what he's saying. Me neither. Let's go home. Let's go eat a hamburger. And Paul's saying, no. Church is supposed to make sense. That's all he's saying. So we see that, number one, in his desire, number two, in his decision, and then number three, we'll be done early today. And Paul's demand. We need to be early, don't we, Miss Janet? We got up early, right? We got up early. So anyway, Paul's demand, verse 20. He said, brethren, be ye not children in understanding, basically in your mind. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. So two things. Letter A, he said what he demanded. Stop thinking like children. Stop thinking like children. He said, be ye children in understanding. And then in the next, or that same verse, he said, be in understanding as men. This is what, I don't know who said it now, I didn't put it down, but said, this is a reference to the inclination of children to refer to what glitters and makes a show over that which is of more value. Stop thinking like, remember that Andy Griffin episode? When that old hobo comes into town, you know, and steals a gumball, and you know, he says, does a gumball machine have to buy food? No. You know, and then gets Opie to steal, like basically steal, and what? Why do today what you do tomorrow? Y'all remember that episode? You remember at the end when he talks to the guy? And he said, there's no harm. Why can't kids make their own decision? He said, because kids will go for what's shiny, glittery, and forget there's a hook in it. Or they won't realize there's a hook in it. That's why a parent have to guide. Well, that's the type of thinking that a child has. They go after what's shiny. They go after what's glittery. And Paul said, and that what taught in the content, tone was very showy. Tone was very, she got a lot of attention. And it got a lot of excitement. People wanted to do it. And Paul said, quit going after what is shining glitter like a child. He stopped thinking like children. Well, we need to do the same thing. We need to sometimes quit thinking like children. Then, that's what he said. And he said, well, basically what he's trying to say here is that a mature person learns to distinguish abiding value from temporary excitement. Let's be concerned about value and truth. Paul demands them not to stop the only thought thinking like children, but the second thing here, to start acting like children. Start acting like children. What do you mean? Well, it says here, how about in malice be ye children? Well, obviously what that is talking about is evil. Depravity, sin. He said, okay, church. We all act childish sometimes. I act childish a lot of times with my wife. You know, I'm very childish sometimes. You know. But we act childish. We all guilty of that in some area of our life. And Paul said, no, what we need to do, and we do need to act like children, in the area of sin. You know, what we say, like, don't we say a lot of times they're innocent? You know, in an ideal that they don't know any, they don't know wrong. They've not experienced wrong. They've not messed with sin. Obviously, they are a sinner. Yeah, that's what he did. We need to strive to be like kids when it comes to sin. He said, we need to be innocent. We need to be naive in the areas of sin. We need to be childish in sin. Meaning, don't be an expert at sin. The problem is we get it wrong. We get childish about things that don't actually matter. That's not theologically incorrect. And we act like children or act like adults when it comes to sin. We need the other way around. We need the other way around. We need to be a mature a Christians, and we need to act like children when it comes to sin. Most of us, and that's exactly what's happening here, they were experts, remember, the love feast? They were experts at depriving from each other. They were experts at being stingy. They were experts at running their mouth. They were experts at all these things. And we have the same problem. I have the same problem. I am an expert at sin. But I don't need to be. And that's the root of the problem. Paul said, you need to become mature when it comes to learning and understanding the word. But you need to be like children when it comes to sinfulness. Here's the thing. We need to get excited about the truth of God. I wrote this down. Why don't we? We don't get excited about God's truth. I mean, we'll preach this sermon. It don't really bother me. But we never have anybody get excited about God's truth. We have nobody mooning over God's truth. Why? Well, I wrote this down. We get excited about what we value. I value college football. I get excited. I value going fishing. I get excited. We get excited about what we value. So why do we not get excited over God's truth? About learning God's truth. Here's what I love. We don't, including myself, we don't value God's truth as much as we think we do sometimes. Why? Because we're sinners. That's what we're talking about right now, including myself. Why do I sometimes bypass reading the Word of God sometimes? Because I don't value it like a treasure. Like we talk about Wednesday night, about wisdom is better than a ruby. I don't view it that way a lot of time. I'll be honest with you. And if somebody said, Will, in the next 30 minutes, you got an option. You can go read your Bible for 30 minutes, or you can go 30 minutes down the road and get $1 million. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get $1 million. But you know what that says? That says I value money, you know, to a certain degree, over the Word of God. Now, I know it's a little messed up illustration, but it paint the picture. One thing I've told you before, I'll give it five to go fishing and get excited, but I won't give it five to read my Bible. I get there, but I'm not there yet. Why? Because I value fishing, sometimes more. Sometimes I loaf this. And like I said, I'll get full of honey, and he said I loaf the food. Sometimes we're like, we loaf this. We don't want to learn it. We need to value truth. Let me ask you, that's what he's saying. He's saying, Paul is saying, we are to value the truth explained and taught, and here's what is truth important to you. Not just at church, in your personal life. Do you value truth? You know? Or do you, I mean, like me, I'll sit down and watch a movie, or I'll sit down Me and my wife started playing cards. Got a game called Speed. I whoop her almost every time. I keep saying, the game is Speed. She beat me last night twice in a row. We played until I won, and then we went to bed. So anyway, but I value that. What do I value? Truth. And I said, hey, let's go play Speed. But I'm being honest with the husband. I said, hey, let's get in and read the Bible. So what do I value? Now, I'm not saying you can't play cards. I'm not saying you gotta sit down every time. I'm not saying you gotta pick the Bible over everything you do. Like, well, let's pick the Bible. We can't go on vacation. We're gonna read for a week. No, I'm not saying that. Common sense. Yeah, it applies in every area. One pastor said, you know, God gave us sanctified common sense, okay? So sometimes we need to use that. But do we value truth? That's what he said here. We, at the end of that, he said, we need, they got excited over tongues, but it wasn't telling truth, not in an understandable way. He said, what you need to do is you need to value truth. And when we do that, I think we'll get excited. Paul's desire, decision, and demands tell us that in church, we need to make sensible, intelligent of the truth. We need to make it sensible. We need to value truth being taught. Common sense church focuses on learning, teaching, understanding, and sharing the truth of God. And that is exactly what Paul's saying in light of tongues. And a lot of tongues, that wasn't making sense. And he said, well, you need to value this. And I think most of us do in this church, but we need to be reminded that is what we need to value. That needs to be the pinnacle thing. And the piano player comes up to play. And if you're like me, man, I'll be honest with you. I don't sometimes care about truth in my own. I love, because it's only easier to preach than it is to practice. I love it, understanding, figured out, but I don't always like to practice truth. I don't always value truth in my personal life. You know? Cause I'll be honest with you, I study for sermons a whole lot more than I walk with God in my personal life. You know, I'm not saying that's wrong, but we need to make sure that it's not just it's not just a textbook. That it's a personal book that I walk with and value each and every day. For like me, that may be the only thing for you today. As they begin to play, after you stand on your feet, maybe you're like me. Maybe you need to say, you know what? I need to value truth in my life. If they play, maybe God spoke to you. Ask God to talk to you, or ask to talk to God today.